Casper Citron from the Algonquin Hotel, legendary rendezvous for people in the arts. It's indeed a pleasure tonight. One of the leading persons in the arts in the world today, certainly in the music world, to welcome to the program Maestro Herbert von Karajan of the Berlin Philharmonic, and of course the concerts here, and many other activities which we're going to hear about in a few moments. Talking with him is Trygve Tonnesen, who is the manager of programs of Exxon, head of the public affairs department of that worldwide corporation. Welcome to the program, gentlemen. Maestro, I understand this is your fifth trip with the Berlin Philharmonic, is that right?
Yes, it's the fifth time I am here. And we have been also with the London Philharmonia and with Vienna Philharmonic.
Mm-hmm. How did Exxon find you, or how did you find Exxon to get together on this broadcast that is over public broadcasting throughout the United States?
Well, Exxon found Mr. von Karajan, but Mr. von Karajan is so prominent in music in this country and abroad that he's not hard to find. The man who led us to his and other similar program was Mr. Howard Taubman, who was the music critic and the drama critic of the New York Times, and who, since his retirement, has been advising us on a number of the programs we're interested in.
I didn't realize that. Howard's an old friend of mine, former colleague as a theater critic.
He's become a very good
and
friend of ours.
And tennis adversary, I might add.
Tennis adversary also.
Maestro von Karajan, is there much difference in the world of music when you tour America playing more or less the same things on four or five different trips? I mean, do you pick up anything different? Are the audiences different?
No,
different?
The audience today all over the world, the good audiences, they are so close together because they have the same education and have heard good music for a length of time, and it's nearly always the same.
You don't find that there's more youth involvement today?
Yes, this I would say. I saw the American trip, I've seen very many young people, and from great enthusiasm.
Is the same true in Germany and Austria and abroad?
Perhaps not as much as it is here, but here and in Japan, where, of course, there's an enormous interest. It's nearly an explosion in the hearing of music.
During these five different trips that you've made to the United States, you have stuck pretty much to the classics. Is there a particular reason for this?
Well, there is a particular reason, is that the man who arranges the thing has, of course, his wishes you have to respect, because anyhow he takes the risk and for the whole tour. And so, of course, he wants us to do the works that the things the public really likes, the great standard works of classic, romantic. It's not limited to that, but we have done also modern works, and we are always going to do them. For instance, I just finished now a cassette of four records on the Viennese called the so-called Viennese School, Schönberg, Berg, and Webern, and this has met with a very great interest. But in principle, we have to do this because we have worked on them for now 19 years, and I think we are so familiar, and as you can imagine, we have done it so often, and we start now a series of recordings with different companies, and Polydor, which used to be Deutsche Grammophon, will have about 120, more or less the whole repertoire will be newly taken now because of the quadrophonic new sound, which may be it will take some 2 or 3 years, but then it will arrive, and you see the equipment on which we work and we hear is really a new world in sound.
Those records that you just mentioned, are those all available in America today?
No, we start now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're just starting today?
We start now, yes. I feel that I have to do the whole thing over again and start nearly from scratch.
You have a center that you have started not too many years ago. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing there and how it works?
You see, the basic thing is it is a foundation. Yeah? And this foundation is in Berlin and in Salzburg, which are more or less the two centers of my interest. The Berlin, because the orchestra is there, and I am from 4 to 5 months there. In a way that I never leave the orchestra alone longer than 2 weeks. And this makes for the continuity, and it was not in the beginning because I had other things to do. But now I'm concentrating on this mainly, and on the three festivals which Salzburg now has. It started with one, the great one, where I'm one of the directors. This is in August. And 9 years ago, I started a new one, which was at Easter, where I do the whole management and artistic direction myself. I'm responsible for the budget and everything. And we have nine evenings the week before Easter and Easter. And more or less, we concentrate in opera on Wagner. And of course, on the concerts, the normal program. And we have seen that people like so much to spend a certain time where there are the holidays in Salzburg, so we have added another one on Witzen. These are four concerts, and we have people coming from all over the world. And by the way, it's those festivals, the two I have managed, we now can say that about 78% to 80% of the whole costs are played in by the Indian ticket, as compared to Vienna Opera, which is 26% only.
Mm-hmm. Well, you also are very active in film direction.
Yes.
Is that also at the center, or is that elsewhere?
No, we do it in Berlin, from the Philharmonic Hall. It's always, as a trademark, you see the hall, which is a very new and very modern hall. And there the films are taken, and of course then I have three different studios where I spend the time when I do not conduct, and where I make my preparation and so. And those studios in Salzburg, in Saint-Tropez, and St. Moritz. And I do there the whole cutting and mounting of the films, which takes a considerable time, especially when you think of opera. I must say the Othello film that we have presented a week ago in Washington has taken the better part of the last year for me. But it is interesting from one point, because if you conduct it and direct it, you know exactly what you want to see and what you want to hear. And that's why more or less, with very few exceptions, do always the directing also in opera myself.
Maestro Vancarian, some people have said about that Othello that some of the singing they didn't feel was, well, what should we say, absolutely tops. Did you want to comment on that? Or?
Yes, but you see, the Citroën cars have a publicity, and they say, find a better one.
Well, I guess that's, yeah.
You see, Othello is a very difficult opera, and especially the role of Othello. If somebody has not done it at least through 10 years with an enormous experience like John Vickers, you couldn't get any result, especially on the acting, and he's a great actor. All three of them are. And so I don't think today we will have, and for a long time, a cast of those three which are so harmonious as they were.
Maestro Vancarian, it has often been said of you that you are at one with your musicians. In other words, you're closer than any other maestro to them. How would you explain that?
I would explain it because, you see, the first time that I conducted the Berlin Orchestra, it was like, how would you say, coming home. And this, I was only a guest conductor when Furtwängler lived. But There, after the concert, I said, this is what I really want. And then when Furtwängler died, I was called to succeed him. So, of course, it's a different point. We are, I might say, we are a big family. And we have worked very much together, but a work which is, let's say, a work of love and mutual understanding. It's today, where we are now 19 years together, it's not a sort of a rehearsing that is, as we do a drill. It's an interchanging of views, and then we know where we have made a fault, and we will correct this, of course, with utmost precision, that's clear. But also in one fact is that we travel quite much, and long journeys. So it is clear that you must have a personal understanding, one to each other. There are difficult situations which might arise. And I know that, let's say, from the point of health, when I feel somebody is not right, I send him to my doctors, mm-hmm. and then they are treated. And if somebody is in personal trouble, they come to me and say, what should I do? I'm, in a sense, I am their father.
What you're saying, in essence, is that your relationship goes beyond the podium. You have a personal relationship with your men.
Of course. It's they are close friends to me.
But there are no women, I understand.
One.
Oh, there is a woman.
And she's married.
Are you envisioning any broadening of this non-woman status
The question is very simple. If a woman is better than a man, we take them. But don't forget, with the ladies, there is in traveling, there are problems. And we have, up to now, it's always open to any application somebody might consider, but we have not found somebody who is better than a man. And moreover, I have now made a school which is an academy of the Philharmonic Orchestra, because I was really fed up with the auditions where you don't hear anything which comes near the standard we have to ask. And so, with considerable money which I got from different companies, we have set a school. And the first, when we asked, there were about 136 applications, and from those remained six. But now we are, I can say, in a position that in 2 years I would have, for the key posts in the orchestra, I would have really an excellent material. And I think it's the only way, because when they come then as permanent members in the orchestra, they have been 3 years with us, not only be taught, but they sit in all rehearsals, and sometimes they just take over a little bit in the repertoire. It's like being a co-pilot. After 3 years, they are so familiar that they play the same style, and I think it's the only way to do it.
Trigby, the Exxon of participation sponsoring this concert on public broadcasting, which was heard last Wednesday, do you also do the sponsorship of the Leonard Bernstein and the rest of the series that follows?
Yes, the series.
Maestro von Karajan?
The series consists of five programs this year. The first one was performance by Otto Rubinstein in last month in October. And then there is the current performance of the Beethoven Fifth Symphony with Mr. von Karajan. This is followed by a performance on Christmas night by Mr. Bernstein and the Tchaikovsky Fifth, the Boston Symphony Orchestra at Tanglewood. And then there are two programs, one at the beginning and one at the end of Lent. And this is a Mozart Requiem at the beginning, and a repeat of the Bach B minor Mass on Good Friday.
I must say, Maestro, that the company started at the top.
Yeah, I must say that I have the greatest respect for this work, because I think with this the action, they broke the ice, which more or less was here for good concerts and splendidly presented. And that people knew that they were coming, and this they are doing in a masterly way, then, because now everybody knows it will be. And you see, what we, our work with the symphonic repertoire, it is, of course, it is a live transmission taken, but we do it on four different sessions, so that we have the possibility then to combining the different pictures. The great difficulty in a real life concert taken is the lighting. As you know, one side is good and the other side is very bad. So what we do is we're shifting it over, and this is why we don't use the Ampex tapes. We do it for on film. And of course, it might take 2 or 3 months to get it ready, but then, of course, the pictures are much better. And we see, of course, it might come a little bit shorter, but we will always need those 4 days to get the material. We have about 10 times the material that we then use.
Maestro, you mentioned that there were only 3 people or 3 predecessors with the Berlin Orchestra before you. Is that correct?
Nikisch?
There were only 3.
Yes, Nikisch, Richard Strauss, and Furtwängler.
And you're the 4th. That's not much of a change, is it?
No. And you see, the orchestra regards it as their good fate that always the next man was ready to take over. And this other orchestras had longer intervals where they looked for somebody who was not available or something. And this is the sort of luck.
Much has been made about your non-music side, in fact, people even call you the glamorous conductor and this and that and the other thing, and that you pilot your own plane and so forth. Do you still do the piloting bit?
Oh yes, but I'm just training now here in LaGuardia on the simulator of the new plane we are going to have.
What would that be?
A Falcon 10.
Mm-hmm. Is that a jet?
A jet, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
How large?
Oh, about 9 people, but it's the fastest of them all. Mm-hmm. And you see, it's not because fast flying. The thing, what I love is instrument flying, of course. It makes you more orderly in your thoughts. It's a real concentration which does me good in all the other fields of my life, because it has to be very well organized and then must run, and you feel very reposed on yourself if you do it. No, it fascinates me.
So when you come back from this tour, you'll be checked out on the Falcon.
Yes.
What does it cruise at?
It cruises at 490 knots.
That's well over 500 miles an hour.
Well, it's more or less the fastest plane, a commercial.
Mm-hmm. And you will use this mainly in Europe, I trust.
In Europe, yes. Of course, the distances are smaller, but I use it for business, but I use it also for my pleasure, as I told you.
How many months a year do you work? Do you have a schedule that you take so much time off?
Oh, yes. I can tell you, I work all the year round, nearly, 10 days, and I stop 10 days and make my preparation. I found out that when you do conducting, rehearsing, directing, that you cannot at the same time prepare new thing. It's wrong. You have to be at your ease, and see, I don't like the big cities. I like being in the country or in the mountains or the sea. I love sailing, and there I have the time to prepare myself and do things which then I would, exception of course, the 2 months which I take for the preparation of the festival. This is 1 month complete work. But otherwise, I don't find for myself that long holidays are good for me. It's like taking the breath and taking it out. This sort of rhythm makes me so that after a period of 10 days where I'm...
You're itching.
Yes, I get already nervous to go to work. And then 10 days, of course, with full concentration and 8 or 9 hours per day, it's enough, and then you stop. Otherwise, the whole thing becomes a routine, and this is the thing which I hate most in life.
Well, do you feel that if you took more than these 10 days, that you might lose some of your sharpness?
Yes, maybe, but it has been done like this, but I tried it from different things. Naturally, I can't do it only now. When I was director of the opera in Vienna, it wasn't possible because I had to do all the things myself and be there more or less 70% of the year. But this is gone by, and I never have the intention to do it again, because I think the system of opera, what we do today, except the festival, is gone by. And if you think that Vienna is spending, it comes now close to $30 million a year on loss, the quality is not appropriate to what you spend. Whereas a festival, we prepare, for instance, the Easter Festival for one complete year, and then of course we have the best singers and they're rehearsed in a proper manner, and this is what makes my joy in work.
Well, Maestro, wasn't there one time a number of years ago when you were director of quite a few symphony orchestras at one time?
It was when I was director of Vienna Opera. I had the Philharmonic Vienna, and I had Berlin, and
London?
But this was earlier.
Yeah.
This was before Vienna. But I used to conduct a lot at La Scala. So it was shifted in
Is that when the flying started?
Oh, no, much earlier. It's 20 years ago.
How did you start?
Small, as always, I had very little time. It took me very long to get my first license, clearly, because I only could steal one out away. But then, of course, I have more time now, and I think the way as work is now arranged, you can't say work. It's a joy. You are permitted, and not I must conduct. I'm able to conduct, and I'm glad that I can do it. And you see, in my life, one of the greatest joys and satisfaction is that music, which was a thing for very few people, has today become a second language, and everybody listens. If you see now the interest which is taken, for instance, in Japan, where every concert which is transmitted is believed to be seen by about 6 to 7 million people, every concert. So, I mean, it's no more good to ask the question, should we do it or should we just have to do it, because we can't deprive the whole humanity of the beauties of music.
Maestro Bunkarian, last topic, we're almost out of time. This may be a foolish question, but I don't know the answer. When you conduct on a tour and give concerts, naturally you're giving these concerts live and in person. Why, when you give a TV concert, is it taped and not live?
It is live.
Oh, it is live?
It lasts,
oh, I
course.
Thought that most of the concerts one gives on television are not live.
No, they are live. It's with public.
No, you don't see what I mean. What I mean is, it is live with public, but it's not live at the moment it's being telecast.
I think it would be less interesting, certainly for our audiences, because you would not be able to show what you see. You see, it is not a sort of a documentary thing. It is that we want to give a optical interpretation of the music public hears. And there is one example which I can cite. When we moved from the old hall in Berlin to the new one, this new one is so that 40% of the public sit in a way that they look into your face, because I'm nearly in the middle of the hall. And when we showed the subscribers the plan of the house, all wanted to sit backwards so that they see me. People take an enormous interest also in the optics, and I can understand it.
Tricky, did you want to comment on that?
I wanted to comment that it must be produced so that the visual aspect comes out most effectively. And this can only be done if it is done on film, with camera viewing from many angles. And I think this is what the programs we have produced and intend to show bear out very clearly. And when it is done that way, the visual aspect of it enormously enhances the interest of the music itself.
That is the way it's been evolved down in
the way it's been developed
on television.
The way it's been developed over a period of time. The way in which the camera can move to place. The way in which the camera can show the place itself where the music is being produced adds to the quality of it. And a direct transcription of this from a performance doesn't have the degree of flexibility that a prepared performance does.
Well, thank you very much. The last voice you heard was Trygve Tonnesen, who's manager of programs for Exxon, head of the Public Affairs Department, and of course my guest, Maestro Herbert von Karajan, of not only Berlin Philharmonic but many other hats that you've heard, and of course all his recordings, which I know that you are both buying and have at home. Thank you both very much for coming by.
Thanks to
Thank you.
Pleasure
this to be
here. This is Casper Citrin saying goodbye from the Algonquin Hotel, cultural landmark, West 44th Street in New York City.